ho, ho, ho!
Merry holidays!
Merry Transmas, my children.
Welcome to Trans in Love.
This is a podcast.
About being trans.
And in love.
Well, and I'm Ezra.
And I'm Elle, which is really cool. And we're two trans people.
Who are married.
Who just happen to be trans people.
Yeah, and happen to be married. I don't know how it happened.
It's
but
really
I was
cool.
Born this way.
Yeah. I'm
married.
I'm beautiful in a way. I make no mistakes except for that time when he made your face.
Ooh. Now that's the kind of energy I want to see in this world.
This week we're going to talk about a lot of cool things.
We're going to talk about our wedding day.
Yes, all the details of our wedding day. We're going to talk about our experience with the holidays.
We're going to talk about how much I hate Ethan Slater.
We're going to talk about our beautiful friend group.
We're going to talk about estranged family members.
Yeah. And we also are going to answer some of the questions that you've asked us on the internet.
You asked us a bunch of questions on our stories.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to answer them.
Yeah.
In depth.
I think it's going to be a capital T for trans treat.
That's awesome.
I put the teat in treat.
And I like that about you.
And I love you. Let's get into it.
Let's get into it.
Cue the jingle.
All I want to do is hang out with you forever and a day till the sun burns up. You never seem to run out of things to say. So let's talk about being trans in love.
It's the holiday season.
The holiday season.
Whoop-dee-doo. Sick a knock.
Fuck on my glue.
And lick on my sock.
And look on my taint.
Kinky Christmas. Right. So we're in a new location.
This is our little guest house that we have for guests.
If you're watching this podcast, you'll see that we look different.
We look different. We feel different.
We're not on our couch.
We're a little closer up.
We're a little closer together, which I like.
This is a couch. This
yeah.
is one of our couches.
Yeah. And also,
came with the house.
The reason why we're not inside is because our lovely cleaning person, Lolita, is currently working on our living room.
Yep.
She's an angel on earth.
She is pretty quiet, but when mm-hmm. she does speak, it is entertaining.
Gosh, I love her.
She's lovely.
It's every time she comes, it feels so nice.
Clean.
It feels so clean.
Yeah.
Oh.
She does great work.
Yeah. She works all day.
She does.
It's unbelievable. I'm so grateful for her.
Yeah.
This holiday season... You just saw a kitten attack a fly. This holiday season, be grateful for the people who clean your house.
They have jobs too, and they're still working at your house.
Is this unrelatable content?
Yeah, this is unrelatable.
I'm like Ellen.
Oh my God, we're Ellen. Like Ellen. Did you ever watch that special, Unrelatable?
No, or I didn't.
Relatable. I think it's Relatable.
Uh-huh. I didn't, did
you? I thought it was really funny, actually. Yeah. It was before she got hashtag canceled.
Before? Oh.
Right before.
Right before, yeah. I used to love watching old Ellen stand-up specials. Like, it was amazing how she'd be able to make jokes that were at nobody's expense and
yeah.
like generally universal experiences.
She was a genius.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I got drunk. The first time I ever got drunk was watching Ellen's old sitcom.
Wow.
Did you know she had a sitcom?
Yeah, of course, with Laura Dern. She came out to Laura Dern at the airport.
Oh my God. Laura I didn't know that was Laura Dern.
The one and only gay Laura Dern.
Gay icon Laura Dern.
No, gay. Not icon. Gay. Just kidding. She's not gay. Wouldn't it?
But she is an icon. I don't know why that would be corrected.
Why can't Laura Dern be gay? We should start a petition. Make Laura Dern gay.
Yeah, for sure. She deserves it.
If the next time I see her face isn't deep in a vagina,
I'm leaving.
I'm
getting the heck out of there.
I'm leaving Mexico. wait, but also there's Now You See Me Too. Nope. What's it called? The movie with Ellen's boobs.
Oh, If These Walls Could Talk Too.
If These Walls Could Talk.
If anyone is out there listening, have you seen that movie? I can't find it online anywhere, but
yeah.
I can find it. Like, if I wanted to buy it on DVD, I could do that.
Okay, online. But then we need to buy a DVD
player. We need to buy a DVD player, yeah, which I'm open to.
It'll be worth it.
Yeah.
For sure. No, that's what Ellen's boobs make me feel like, too.
Yeah, there's a really great sex scene with Ellen DeGeneres and someone else. and they're like having sex, and it's and that song "Thank You" by Dido is playing, which is like
how
so
does it go?
90s. I want to thank you for giving me the best day of my life.
Beautiful.
And
I don't know that song.
Just to be with you, give me the best day of my life.
Oh, that's beautiful.
It's so cute. And then they're like, and Ellen's nipple is like,
is out. Boing. Just one.
I don't remember if it was both or one or what. Mm-hmm. The shot was, it was like very artsy kind of angles.
Shadowy.
Really shadowy, dark, up close.
Artful.
Really beautiful scene. And my mom showed me that movie when I was really young, and it was before I came out as a lesbian.
Wow.
Right before. And she was like, you remind me so much of one of these characters. It was Chloe Sevigny.
Oh, nice.
She had slick back, cool greaser hair.
Is Chloe Sevigny gay?
No, but she's like gay.
Right.
She's like so queer
these days.
And she was like super butch.
Wow.
And she was like, this is the character that really reminds me of you. Aww. And I was like, Mom.
Is that why you love Chloe Sevigny?
I think so.
Oh,
yeah. I think Chloe Sevigny is why I came out.
Wow.
Probably. One of the reasons. I had a lot of reasons.
Put it on a shirt.
Chloe Sevigny is why I came out.
Maybe a button.
She's so queer because there's an episode of Portlandia that she cameos in,
yeah.
And she ends up dating both Fred and Carrie at the same time. Wow. And they all go on a date together to a rose garden. It's an amazing scene.
Oh my God, amazing.
It's like silent movie vibes.
Oh, love.
Yeah.
Speaking of Chloe Sevigny's cameo in Portlandia, we offer cameos now.
Oh my God, we do.
Joint cameos, us too. So if you want a personalized video, you could get one of those.
Yeah,
from us.
It's in the link of both of our bios.
Pretty cool, right?
And also of this episode. I'm sure we can do that.
Sure we could. Honestly, the world is our girl.
Girl.
Not me misgendering my husband.
If you don't call me girl... Are we even close?
Girl.
I'm a witch sister. Like, our friend group is called the Witch Sisters.
Totally.
When our friend group titled itself the Witch Sisters, mm-hmm. I don't know who did it, but one of us did it.
Yeah.
It made me feel so seen mm-hmm. because I finally found a group of friends who wouldn't be afraid to...
Girl,
loop me mm-hmm. into that experience.
Absolutely.
I'm much more of a sister than a brother.
Yeah. Yeah, but you're little brother.
I'm a little brother. Yeah, but even so, like, when me and my sister, we were like the girls.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
we were,
that
like,
makes sense.
Sisters. So I really, maybe I'm half and half. Yeah. Half brother, half sister.
Oh my God. Non-binary, half and half.
Half and half, perfectly.
Right? That's how it works,
split
right?
Down the middle. Yeah.
It's like basically what's the thing where it's like all people are non-binary because they're half woman, half man.
You heard it here. that's the tea.
Put that on a mug and drink from it and then spit it out and then drink again because you like that beverage.
And you also like vomit.
Why would you bring up vomit right now, brother? So, you know, I can brother you too because you're everything in both
hands. Me, brother me, drip down the side of me.
So it's the holidays coming up. And by holidays, we celebrate Christmas.
We do celebrate Christmas. We also celebrate our anniversary, which happens to be on Christmas Eve.
Uh-huh.
We decided to co-opt that holiday and uh-huh. say, you know what? This is ours, actually.
Yeah.
Jesus who?
Christmas gets 2 days. Why don't we take one of them, make it our day?
Yeah.
And honestly, I'm so excited. It adds an extra depth to Christmas that just makes me so happy.
Yeah. Our wedding day was so perfect.
Yeah, it really was.
It was the best day of my life. One of the best days of my life.
Let's talk about our wedding.
Okay. We were gonna...
yeah.
We had grand plans for our wedding.
We really did. I wanted a big wedding. Well,
we both wanted a big wedding.
Yeah. I wanted to invite everyone we love. And I wanted to wear a princess dress. And I wanted to be maybe like a little woodsy, a little like just like tables,
barefoot
in the park. I really, honestly, I still dream of having a moment like that.
Yeah.
But I think when we decided that we were just going to do a courthouse wedding, I thought like what helped me make that decision is like we could always have another wedding, but then the day was so perfect that I don't feel like I need one.
It doesn't feel lacking. I feel like if anything we could do like a renewal of vows or whatever.
Yeah,
ceremony
totally.
One day and make it a whole big bash.
I love that.
Yeah.
So can we talk through the day to our wedding day?
Yeah.
So we got married in Sacramento at the Sacramento Courthouse. Beautiful place.
The lead up though.
Yeah.
The lead up of like deciding to just do a courthouse wedding. Yeah. There was so much relief.
Yes.
Because like every client that I used to do hair like a lot and mm-hmm. all of my hair clients were very up to date with my life mm-hmm. and my timeline.
Yeah.
And like once they found out I proposed to you, it was a big deal because they all knew it was coming.
Yeah.
And then there was a period of time between the proposal mm-hmm. and the like deciding to get married at the courthouse mm-hmm, mm-hmm. where they would every single time they would come get their haircut, they'd be like, so any more updates with your wedding?
Yeah.
And every time they'd ask, I would get a little bit more anxious.
Yeah. What we met with my great friend who's a wedding planner.
Yeah.
And we talked about it and we like talked about typical wedding budgets. And at the time, like we were coming off a year where I had a very successful year. Mm-hmm. And so it was like that number that was like on the low end, $30,000 for an event. Which I know is not necessary, but that was like on the low end for the kind of wedding that we wanted.
And what she was offering.
Right, exactly.
Like a package kind of thing.
Which she was like, we could do it with less, but what we said we wanted, you know?
She was like, if you want any flowers at all, it has to be $30,000.
Yes, totally. Like, we can go forage for them. But
I was like, I'll just go steal them from people's yards.
Absolutely.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, but that number felt like, at that time, not as obscene as it does now.
Yeah.
Which honestly I think has to do with leaving like LA and you know.
Yeah, translating $30,000 into pesos is crazy.
Yeah. It's so much money anywhere.
For that.
Yes. Oh my gosh. And yeah, which feels and all the while we were like, why would we spend this much money on an event that that like when we could spend it on something that like we could like live in.
Like a house. Like a house or like a honeymoon.
But I still dreamt of it. We even dreamt of doing a reality show around it, which felt like I was starting to work with people on pitch decks for a reality show that was like a bunch of different trans couples. Like
That was real.
Yeah.
That was actually viable.
Yeah, I worked really hard on it. Yeah. And then it got to the point where we were at the end of the year. It was past our 1 year anniversary of you proposing to me. And we were in the kitchen and you were like, I forget what happened.
I was like, okay, I'm just going to say this. And if you don't like it, we don't even have to think about it. But like, I would get married at the courthouse.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought you were going to be like,
Yeah.
And you were so like down.
I was like, let's do it.
Yeah.
Because we were already planning to be together. Like my mom was coming to the West Coast for Christmas. And so
we were planning on going to SAC already too. So
we were like, everyone's going to be together. What if we just...
Except for my mom. My mom wasn't going to be there. She was going to be in Italy, which was pretty heartbreaking.
That was really heartbreaking.
But, and then like my dad, who I don't even like, was there. But that's fine. We were going through an on phase at the time. Well...
The day of our wedding was the first time you had seen him in months.
Oh, yeah. It was pretty dramatic.
Yeah.
But it was like, all right, am I going to have no parents at this wedding? Or am I going to like just try to like reconnect with him for this?
Yeah.
And I'm glad he was there.
Yeah.
I am glad.
Which I think is in like an interesting thing to talk about is the feeling of like going no contact with a family member and then having these big life moments is really challenging. Like,
yeah.
Like... I have a sibling who I'm no contact with and like it was really challenging leading up thinking that like they were not going to be there for my wedding day. And I feel like this must be a shared experience with a lot of people, like especially queer and trans people. And it was really hard. And then basically what I decided was like, okay, this huge along with my therapist, like this huge life moment, might not be the right time for me to introduce something that I'm not sure will feel good.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, this day is, I just want it to just feel good. Mm-hmm. Like I just want it to feel like, it's about what it's about, which is you and me. Mm-hmm. And like, we had our engagement party, and it was lovely. And even with the few moving parts we had, it felt like it distracted from what it was supposed to be about.
We're not good at like social constructs and like decorum, mm-hmm. kind of, I think, is really challenging to like pretend to adhere to,
yeah.
for us. And so when it was like, this is what you do, like you have other people cook for you. Like mm-hmm. you have people, you have a plan, you have a menu, you mm-hmm. have like a table with all of this organized stuff.
Yeah.
It was just like, oh my gosh, there's just so much extra shit.
Yeah.
Like it felt, yeah, distracting.
Mm-hmm. It was like a whirlwind where like so many people came in and then left, and then it was over, and I was like, what just happened?
Yeah. And it was beautiful.
It was so beautiful.
There were so many moments that were so fun and easy.
My mom made so much unbelievable food.
Incredible food.
It was so delicious.
Yeah.
I'm really hungry.
Speaking of,
we should eat after this.
We should eat after this.
I think that experience really made us realize, no, you know what it was? The day after our engagement party, we decided to go on a one-night trip to Joshua Tree. And we arrived, and it's like, it felt unbelievable.
That was, such like, a sexy trip.
Yes.
It was so, like, intimate, and we brought the dogs, and we had, like, but we just, like, had such beautiful moments, like, mm-hmm. just the two of us connecting.
It was so quiet.
It was about us.
Yeah.
Celebrating the fact that we were going to do this big thing together. And
it felt like that was the real celebration.
Yeah.
Like the party that we had was like about connecting with our loved ones and being celebrated by them. But then afterwards it felt like our trip was, which I guess could be similar to a honeymoon, you know?
Sure. Yeah. That honestly, that day felt like chaotic, like a wedding.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
And then, That was a beautiful like little honeymoon moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then I think like planning the wedding, sort of like having that moment to reflect on of us just like being together, the two of us in Joshua Tree, maybe like set the tone for what our wedding needed to be.
Yeah.
And then it kind of stopped feeling like in alignment with mm-hmm. the docu-series type situation.
Yeah.
Reality show thing. It was just like... Yeah. Those are existing in two different worlds.
Absolutely. Of course I would love to be in a reality show, a documentary, yada, yada, yada. But to add another moving part to that, and also it just was not, it was so far away from what we truly wanted.
Yeah. You know? 'Cause it was like, okay, if the foundation of us getting married is just like being super, super madly in love, then that has to be like at the forefront
of
everything we're doing. And it ended up being so much so that we couldn't even hire my sister's friend who was a photographer because we were like, we don't want an extra person.
Like we don't want someone there who we don't know, unfortunately.
And like, that's wild because people invite people to their weddings who have plus ones.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who they do not know. And that's super normal.
We took photos. Okay, so we got an Airbnb in Sacramento
mm-hmm. that smelled like cigarettes.
Yeah, unfortunately.
But on the outside, it was very pretty.
Very pretty.
But
and
smoky.
We woke up on the wedding day and we took a bath together. Mm-hmm. A bubble bath with so many bubbles. I have never seen so many bubbles in a bubble bath, and it was so fun.
Yeah.
And then you took a scoop of bubbles and you took a bite out of them.
I said, I love the rules.
I love the rules. And that was the moment where I was like, I'm hooked.
That was the moment.
That was the moment I was like, okay, I'll do it. That was the moment I was like, this is exactly who I want to get lawed with, sign a document with.
Thank you.
That says forever.
That's what it says. And then I did your hair.
You did my hair.
I did your wedding hair.
Mm-hmm.
And then
That was so dreamy.
Your mom helped you get your dress on.
Yeah, we wrote our vows.
Oh, yeah.
That morning, we both were like, okay, look, we didn't write our vows.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it. But it was perfect because it felt like it was so fresh. Like, I was writing them crying.
I had a therapy session that morning.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think it was that morning.
That's amazing.
I know. Yeah. And at the time, me and my therapist were real tight, mm-hmm. so it was really sweet.
Yeah.
We had a falling out.
Unfortunately.
Unfortunately. That was a crazy thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it all seemed to be, like, aligning really well. And then this moment with my dad happened where he showed up at the courthouse when we arrived, and I cried and hugged mm-hmm. him. We hadn't talked in months. And like... It gives me cringe feelings now because mm-hmm. we're off again. I had to set another boundary with this man and go no contact again. Unfortunately, not my preference, but it's just what it needs to happen in order to be safe. And but at the time, I know that I was glad I did what I did.
Yeah.
And it was nice to have a parent. There.
Yeah, totally. Because my mom was there, and
she's such a mom.
She's the mom of moms.
Yeah.
Mom of moms and Lord of Lords. That's Hallelujah by
Jesus Christ
himself.
And the angels.
Yeah, but then everyone took a million photos of us.
Yes. That was really cute.
Yeah.
And my sister and my sister's spouse was, they were both there mm-hmm. and they're like kind of my pseudo parents mm-hmm. in a way. So that was really nice.
Your sister was so pregnant.
She was so pregnant. She was about to burst. Uh-huh. She delivered January 11th mm-hmm. and this was Christmas Eve. Yeah. So she was really close to bursting.
Oh my gosh. That was awesome. Yeah. And then we went into the courthouse and I was in a full dress, like we were dressed to the nines.
We looked
and
amazing.
We really did. And it's like, it felt like the room stopped.
Yeah.
And then
no one else was in a wedding dress.
No.
And I mean that dress, I would, mm-hmm. yeah, it was definitely a wedding dress. It was a really simple, elegant wedding dress. Mm-hmm. It wasn't all puffy.
Yeah, totally. But it was so fluorescent, that room.
The contrast of the warmth of mm-hmm. our energy plus this government building that had fluorescent lighting and a gray walled mm-hmm. room was hilarious to us. We were just getting a kick out of it.
Right.
Being like trolling the entire thing.
Yeah, it was so, we were dancing and making jokes, and then they brought us into this gray room.
The color gray.
I could not believe how gray it was. Yeah, it's like it was even so the funny. Outside room, the waiting room, was not nearly as gray.
Yeah, it was super neutral. Mm-hmm. I think that's what they were going for.
Yeah.
But gray is like one of our least favorite color palettes, I think, as a couple.
Definitely.
That we can agree on.
Yes.
We're not a millennial gray kind of people.
No, I'd
and
say
so
no.
Walking into that room, it was even more funny.
Yeah.
I think like one thing that I really love about us is like the more wrong things are, the funnier things are.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then the more joy we can have. Like there's probably a world where we would have gotten into that place and then been like, oh my God, this is wrong.
Yeah.
Because it's ugly.
We can't. But no, it was perfect.
It was perfect.
Because it was so wrong.
It was so wrong. And Robert, he seemed like such a Republican. Mm-hmm. The man who married us. It was Robert.
Yeah. But he, like the ceremony, like what he read was very gender neutral.
Very, no she and no he.
Yeah. Like no you
man
may now
and wife.
Kiss the bride.
None
like,
of that
none
shit.
Of it. It was just like, you are now married.
Mm-hmm. That's what he said.
Yes.
It was really cute. And he left the room for the vows,
which
I loved. That was very respectful. Get out of here, Robert.
Yeah.
I don't fucking know you.
And then we each read our vows and cried.
Yeah. Our vows were really beautiful.
Yeah.
I was so proud of what I wrote.
Yeah, me too.
I loved what you wrote.
Same.
Yeah, and then we did it.
Mm-hmm.
It was
done. We did the deed in that room.
Oh, we were also stunned because... We hadn't discussed our last names and if we were going to change them or not. And so we're like literally in the moment filling out the form on their like weird computers that they have there that were just like, all right, do this form.
Mm-hmm.
And we're sitting there just like, okay, here's the space where it says we can just legally change our last names right
okay.
now. And then we were like,
change our last names?
Are we? What are we doing? And then it was like, and then it was proposed that mm-hmm. we would be Ellen Ezra, Michelle Duran,
mm-hmm.
both of us. And then all of a sudden I went like really quiet.
Yeah.
And I was like, am I really going to let go of my last name? Like,
totally.
Fully?
Yeah.
It felt so weird.
Yeah. I would feel the same way. It was easy for me because I was going to keep my last name no matter what. Your name was going to be like middle name.
Yeah. Yeah. But then it worked out because we like did a swip swap. So
yeah,
you're L
Michelle
Duran and I'm Ezra Duran Michelle.
Yeah.
Legally.
Legally.
But I have a million names all over every document.
All over the world.
I'm many people.
Yeah.
And
you contain multitudes.
It's really annoying, to be honest.
Totally.
I really want everything to be the same, but we're working on it.
Yeah. We got married right when, like, in the middle of me working on my name change, my legal name change, so it's kind of the perfect time. So all of my documents have L. Michelle Duran, which is nice.
Yeah. Good for you.
And my social security number is...
Just kidding. You fucking thought.
Okay. Swift shift.
Swift.
Okay, but we can go back to our wedding after this, but the way that I laughed right now just made me think about Ethan Slater as SpongeBob.
Okay.
And look... His performance right now, if you're listening to the podcast, Ezra's eyes are looking to the back of the room, but he's facing forward. Yeah, so Ethan Slater, if you don't know, he was in the Wicked movie. He played SpongeBob on Broadway. I saw that production on Broadway. Unbelievable, incredibly impressive performer. And recently, there's like a clip of him going around the internet from the opening number of SpongeBob. And I'm like, wow, this guy, he's like so talented. And the other night I showed you a video of him singing from SpongeBob and your soul left your body.
I don't like him.
Yeah.
I don't like him.
Explain.
I just don't like his vibe and I don't get the hype. I think that SpongeBob maybe is a character that's really close to my heart. And so...
Yeah.
When I see this man, I'm like, that's not SpongeBob.
Right. It's not SpongeBob. You're so right.
SpongeBob is like not like that. Like SpongeBob is different. Like he's not like that. So for me, that just really bothers me.
All right. So you just don't like him because he's not a sponge.
Well, I don't like him because he's not my SpongeBob.
Okay. I understand.
My SpongeBob looks different as a man.
Okay. But even if he wasn't SpongeBob,
okay.
Even if you weren't watching him as SpongeBob and you only saw him in Wicked.
I didn't even know he was SpongeBob when I first saw that he was cast as Bach.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have much of a connection to Wicked like you do. Like,
right.
I just saw it on Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
I was pretty sick during that.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think that my hatred for Ethan Slater also goes to just, like, how contradictory the coolness of his name is plus the
wow.
way he looks.
That's unexpected.
It feels like he should be, like, a cool skater with the name Ethan Slater.
He was a Slater boy. He said, yeah.
Nessa? He also gives me cringe vibes, like, from, like, cringe talk. Like,
yeah.
Intentional what? Cringe talk.
Yeah.
That energy.
I understand.
When he sings and does anything.
But his performance in the second movie is so incredible. And the first movie. When he was like, I have a personal settle to score with a witch.
I think his anger is a little bit too turned up, personally.
Okay, but imagine you were turned into a tin man.
Yeah.
Imagine if your heart was changed.
No, it's for real. It's true. I just think that maybe what's stuck in my head is that the comparison of like,
of
him in The Wizard of Oz. And he's like, and then I've got to kill him a personal.
Yeah.
It's like the side by side's very funny.
Yeah.
Anyway,
that was our biggest fight this week.
It actually was. I think you felt particularly judged in that moment when I didn't want to watch that video.
Yeah, totally.
And we were getting ready to go upstairs to bed.
We were. And then I just started playing it. Not even for us.
But yeah. You wanted me to watch it. Yeah. I think if I hadn't watched it, it would have been worse.
Yeah.
Probably. But I did sit through it.
You did? Did you?
I did.
Yeah.
I did. I was there. And it didn't change me at all. It made it worse. Made it much worse.
Yeah, I don't think it was the best example of his talents, that video.
And then last night we watched a video of like those two kids or like young people, I don't know, reacting to songs for the first time ever that are like super famous. This was like a Celine Dion song.
It's all coming back to me now.
Great song.
Maybe one of the best songs ever.
Probably. And they were like, you know, just like really reacting. Mm-hmm. Like they were probably listening to it really loudly and just like feeling every lyric and just like really freaking out. And I was like, that is you watching Ethan Slater. That's you. That's how much you love him.
Okay, hear me out. No, I just like music. No, I love musical theater and I appreciate his skill level. I don't think he's a revolutionary singer or performer necessarily, but I think he's very talented. I was amazed at his performance in SpongeBob because of like how, the physicality of it. It was insane what he was doing. He was like, why do you? No.
It's because you love him so much.
But the thing is, I feel like because...
not my SpongeBob.
not my SpongeBob. I feel like honestly, like it's like it seems like I love Ethan Slater more than I do, and it seems like you hate him more than you do, just because we're talking about it so much.
No, I disagree.
Okay. Well, anyway, so then we got married, and
we got married less than a year ago.
Yeah, if you can almost believe that. Next week,
like we haven't even had a 1 year anniversary
for our wedding.
We've been together
for 4 years.
We've been together for like ever.
Yeah.
Now,
but after our wedding, we got back to your sister's house, and
that we did.
What did we eat? Did we order in?
We ordered in. Ellen, I think, really wanted to cook, and then you were like,
"Mom, please no."
I really just want it to be low key. You know what it was? I didn't want her focusing on food because on our engagement party, she was making so much food for so many people that like, it felt like she wasn't fully there because she was working so hard, which I'm grateful for. But I just wanted, all I wanted from her was to be staring at me.
Yeah. Which she did.
She so did. God, I love her.
And we watched The Grinch. Which is one of our favorite films.
Jim Carrey's The Grinch. The Grinch Stole Christmas.
Yeah, of course. And actually, that was one really sweet thing about my dad being there was that he had never seen The Grinch or maybe like never really watched it, even though he might have been there. And he was guffawing at this film as if like it was the funniest thing he'd ever seen, which he's not. He doesn't really do that when we watch things. And and then after we watched it, he was like, I can't believe I've never seen that movie. Like, it really blew his mind. And I loved that.
It really is such an exceptional movie. It is so quotable.
When I grew up, that movie was like in a list of movies that adults around me did not like.
Wow.
Because they didn't like his performance. They thought it was too much.
Oh, interesting.
But I think the adults around me, I think specifically my mom, like did not like the over-the-top comedy.
Yeah.
Like, you know, weird comedy.
Yeah, like that makes sense.
And so that fell into the category of, like, we don't watch this movie, along with Johnny Depp's Willy Wonka.
Oh, yeah.
That was, like, on the list.
That of, like, I, like, understand.
This is demonic.
We love that movie.
It's one of my favorite movies.
But I also understand why people don't.
It's demonic.
Yeah.
It totally is. Yeah.
But you know what I did not like growing up? I didn't think Will Ferrell was funny.
Wow. I was going to say one of the movies that did make the list of like rewatchable movies was Blades of Glory.
Wow.
Which was like my mom and I's favorite stupid movie growing up.
Now I think he's hilarious.
He's so funny.
I love Elf, but it was not my favorite growing up for some reason. I don't know. You know what it was? I feel like I'm realizing this in real time. Breaking news
what
into my brain.
Oh my God, I can't wait.
I forget. No, just kidding. Was that like, I feel like because of Step Brothers, he kind of represented
a this like male douchebag sense of humor that like I didn't feel like I really resonated with or had access to.
Yeah.
And so I was just like, it's just like dumb dude, you know, this is the guy stuff that's for guys, that's like so dumb, even though yeah. I wanted to be a guy, but I couldn't be a guy in that way.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, but now I'm like totally a guy.
We watched Step Brothers the other morning,
and it's so
it was
funny.
Your first time watching it, right?
really watching it all yeah. the way through.
I was like, we were like eating breakfast or something, and I was like, we should watch Step Brothers right now.
And then we did.
And then we did. We've been doing morning movies sometimes recently. And it's like a very specific flavor of movie that like you can't really watch at night because like it can't, it doesn't like, it's not valuable enough
yeah.
to be a nighttime film where we like sit on the couch and like really watch it.
Yeah.
But the other day when you were gone getting laser, I sat on the couch for like hours, like a couple hours.
Yeah.
Watching Private Practice,
oh, wow,
which
yes.
is the spinoff of Grey's Anatomy with Addison Montgomery. Mm-hmm. She's the character.
Right.
And it was like so bad, but I could not turn it off. It was so bad. Don't recommend.
Okay, but it was bad, like good bad?
Not even good bad. There were moments where Addison, I just think Addison's one of my like, one of my, she's like on the list for me of like characters that like would be my hall pass.
Oh, so you're into her.
And it's new. It's wow. like a new sexual like awakening yeah. towards her because
totally.
I like saw a few there was just like a few moments where I was like, whoa, she's like really hot.
Yeah, for sure. She really is.
And then all of a sudden I couldn't unsee it anymore. But yeah. she used to be so cringe to us.
Yeah, well we would just like kind of like, I mean, I always loved her energy, but yeah, she would make do these like this mouth thing where
it was
like
when she was really like thinking.
Yeah, she yeah. She,
her lips would get really thin and pursed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it's become iconic.
Yeah, no, but then there's like these little like stills of her in Reading Glasses.
Yeah, that does it for you. You're really on that library kick.
It sends a chill through my whole body yeah. to imagine you in a librarian outfit.
What about
like a reading? Pencil skirt?
So I asked for a Kindle for Christmas. What about reading from a Kindle? Does that do anything to you?
It's not really about the books. I'm going to say that. It's really, it has nothing to do with books. It has everything to do with the outfit and the glasses.
Totally.
And then like it's like the thing is like I don't have that image other than your mom videos that you made back in the day.
Oh yeah, which are not very sexual.
I wouldn't say that.
Okay.
I remember being pretty turned on
wow.
by those videos.
That's awesome.
But, you know, I wasn't like picturing that I was the kid. I was picturing being the dad in the other room listening to you talking to our aww. Child and being like, I'm going to fuck her later.
That's so sweet.
Yeah, that's aww. Pretty sweet.
I love that.
Yeah. We're parents.
Yeah.
Even though we don't have any children, we just have animals.
How does it feel now that we're coming up on a year being married?
I just want a kid.
Yeah, I think I do too.
I really want to. I do. I think that we'd be excellent parents.
Yeah.
I would love to adopt a baby.
Yeah, that would be so cool.
With you.
Me too.
Elle is the best with children ever in
yeah,
the world.
I'm pretty good with kids, I think.
Like, you can tame the most demonic child, I bet. Like, I've never seen that because yeah. I don't know any demonic children.
Yeah.
But I can imagine that you would just be able to, like, you would be able to cut through all
to find
of the
a way.
Nonsense to find a way to the kid.
Yeah.
I really believe that.
It's fun.
And kids really like me
yeah,
a lot.
Definitely.
I don't always know how to speak to them, but when I don't know how to speak to them, typically that's when they like me the best.
That's so real. Well, I feel like it, like what I notice happening is that you struggle to like feel like you're talking down to a human. So then it's hard to do the like what they respond to, which is like, hello.
Yeah, I can't.
How
do that.
Are you? But it's like how we talk. It's not like how we talk to our dogs, but it's like. It's like, I feel like maybe it's because that voice is too close to how we talk to our dogs.
No, I just think I do have a lot of experience with kids,
yeah.
like little cousins. Right. I babysat true. Growing up. I did Sunday school,
mm.
taught Sunday school little kids.
Yeah.
And my method is just different.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's real.
And I just like, I feel like it's less draining for me to just like talk to them like people. Mm-hmm. And if they like it, then they'll stick around.
Yeah, totally.
And get really obsessed with it. Or they go to you.
Totally. Well, I think I like try to find a balance where it's like, where I'm just like, I'm like how I talk to you, silly.
Yeah. I think like kids who are like 4 and 5 really mm-hmm. dig me.
Totally.
They like once they can like tackle someone mm-hmm. or like hang on someone, mm-hmm. they really like my
Yeah, that's a great age.
I was like that. I was really energetic and I would climb adults in my life.
Oh.
So when a kid is like that, I'm like, I get it.
Yeah. Yeah, parenthood would be fun. Yeah. Do you feel like being married feels different than before we were married?
Yeah.
Same.
Totally. We're different.
Yeah.
But it's also because we were really young when we first got together and now we're like ancient.
Yeah.
No, just kidding. We're 30. But 30 is different than 26.
30? Put it on another mug.
Our cabinet is full.
We have a lot of everything we say, but we make a mug out of it. Yeah, I feel like even though, like, really marriage is just a document that we signed that, like, you know, is helpful with, like, taxes, tax purposes.
So they say.
They say. It does feel like that act just does something. It's just having a moment to celebrate our love and then mark the entrance to a new chapter where we're like really committed to making each other family, mm-hmm. you know, and building a family from there feels just like so liberating. Mm-hmm. And I know that marriage is a very like the institution of marriage is a very heteronormative structure, but I feel like throwing it all up in the air and then taking the parts that I like and then rewriting the parts that don't really fit is so fun.
Yeah. I feel like marriage is one of those things that's like maybe one of the easiest things like that to do that with.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense. Like it's so easy to just look at it and be like, well, yeah, I know why it originally probably existed, mm-hmm. which was probably
to own women.
No, like the original reason probably was about love, maybe, or like wanting to spend the rest of one's life with someone.
Okay, yeah,
was probably about love originally. Yeah. And then it turned into, oh, we should sign documents. Oh, yeah. This is about ownership now.
Yeah,
but I think at the root of it was probably love.
Yeah,
maybe it's easy to see the love.
Yeah.
The potential for love underneath all of the bullshit.
Right.
And I think that's all this is.
Yeah, absolutely.
To me.
Yeah.
It's just like, okay, like, it's kind of cute to, like, sign a thing and then be, like, legally hooked together.
Yeah.
Like, legal Velcro.
Yeah.
We already had the Velcro. Might as well make it legal.
Might as well take that Velcro, turn it into a ball and chain. I have two balls in one chain.
It's...
Two balls, one chain. New video coming at you.
It's about marriage. What did you think?
What do you have, Velcro? Sorry.
No, don't be sorry. I'm sorry.
I think we're all sorry here.
I think we're all sorry, and we're also all not sorry.
Baby, I'm sorry.
I'm not sorry.
Baby, lo siento.
No lo siento.
Okay, now we're going to transition into a new segment.
Transition.
Be the trans you want to see in the world. We posted on our Instagram stories if anyone had any questions or anything they wanted to say to us to share for us to talk about on this podcast. And so we did that. And so here, we're gonna go back and forth, right?
I think we should just go back and forth, probably.
What if we... Wait, I have an idea that what hasn't been said before. New thing into the room. What if we went back and forth?
Go back and forth. Yeah, I like that.
Okay, cool.
I'll start. I sent you a DM for Pussy Boy Apparel. Could you check it, please? I did. I checked it.
Good.
Don't worry about
you
it.
You checked it? Cool.
No, I'm going to do a real one.
Did you? No, I love that.
Let's see. Any advice on where to meet other trans people with healthy relationship dynamics? And then this emoji. If you're, this is incentive to subscribe to our Patreon.
Ezra's doing something that you'll only be able to see if you subscribe to our Patreon.
Yeah.
That's a really good question.
I agree. I thought it was a great question.
You know what I think?
No.
Okay, so what I think is that, like, in queer spaces, there are going to be people there who have a lot of trauma and aren't unhealed trauma.
Yeah, queer people suck.
But and there's also going to be a lot of people who have like an incredibly strong awareness of who they are and how they can healthily relate to people. And I don't know if there's like one specific place where you might be able to find only people with healthy dynamics. You know what I mean?
No, but there are some places that I can suggest.
Okay, give it to me.
I would say... okay, I'm just going to say it.
Just say it.
Trans and queer 12-step groups.
Okay, awesome.
I have met some incredibly sick, healed people there.
I love that.
Which I think is a really good combo. Yeah. Like, I identify so strongly with being mentally ill. Mm-hmm. And I also, because of that, have done so much work on my brain and my heart in order to be to not spew that onto people.
Absolutely.
And I feel like the 12-step community just really rocks with that. But if... I mean, that's a very specific thing about, you know, mostly usually addiction.
Yeah.
However, there's so many anonymous 12-step things. Like, there's just a lot.
Yeah, but also, like, off of that, I feel like it's probably a good thing to go to events that aren't centered around alcohol or, like, clubs, you know? I think.
Because it's not like you have to be sober. You don't have to be sober unless it's, like, a problem.
Yeah.
Right.
But I think a lot of times, like, drinking is like an event that centers drinking isn't always the most conducive to like authentic, unfiltered connection. Some people might disagree, but because I know some people feel like they feel more uninhibited when they're drinking, and absolutely, that it's like opens them up to connection.
Totally fair. I think they're just wrong.
I think in my experience, like, I think I would recommend going to like a daytime queer event if those exist, like a hike or
hiking,
a picnic.
Hiking group. So dreamy? A little park moment.
Yeah.
I also really don't knock dating apps.
Yeah.
Specifically if you're like maybe not like gearing towards like immediate hookups. What I love about the way that you and I connected initially was that there was no, there never felt like there was even a chance that we were going to hook up because I was so not interested in relationships or dating at the time when we met. And so that like cut through so much bullshit.
Yeah.
And we just became really good friends.
Yeah. We also met at a daytime community event.
We sure did.
Yeah.
We sure as heck did. It was very wholesome, very cute.
I think when it comes to like meeting other trans and queer people with healthy relationship dynamics, that like just putting yourself in different queer spaces and finding the ones you most resonate with, and then, you know, really following that inner guidance that guided us towards the realization of our identity in the first place to inform like, okay, how does this feel? Is this the discomfort of being with a new person or talking to a new person, or is this discomfort my body telling me that it doesn't feel good to be around them? Mm-hmm. Sometimes it takes giving them more than one shot to find out which one it is.
Yeah, totally.
You know?
Yeah, definitely. Also, consider this, because this didn't necessarily mean romantic relationships, but I do think like that, you know, the route to a healthy relationship dynamic in general is being the kind of friend that you want.
Yeah.
And like when we first met our current friend group that feels really close, like family, and they're all queer and trans, is because, and very respectful. We're like very like celebratory of each other in a way that just feels like a dream.
Yeah. People like we walk into the room when we're hanging out and everyone erupts into applause.
It's just like the most amazing energy and dynamic. And I think when we first like had the opportunity to hang out with these folks, we were really consistent about and clear about how we wanted to show up in that dynamic.
Absolutely.
And, like, what kind of friends we wanted to be.
Yeah.
And I think focusing that energy of like of desire and wanting these like relationships that are healthy inward and starting from like, what can I offer and how can I be the friend that I want is like a really great place to start. Yeah. If you don't have like specific physical group ideas, like hiking.
Right.
Or 12-step meetings. Yeah.
And we met, we found ourselves into that friend group because I met our friend Finn at a coffee shop and I complimented her skirt and she complimented my sweater. And so give strangers compliments.
That's a great one too.
Yeah. Yeah, and see where that goes. I feel like society is so normalized, just like being alone and staying in your little bubble, even when you're out in the world. But like, and even after, like after coming out as trans, like I found, like I've talked about it on this podcast, like I felt like I entered this bubble because I was too afraid of like transphobia after some like traumatic events. But like opening my eyes to like people and like looking for other visibly queer people or people who have good energy and just like smiling at them or going out of my way to compliment them, like, and it is so rewarding. Yeah. And could lead to like really genuine connections.
Absolutely. Don't be afraid to like also, I think, be like a dork about it and like tell someone that you like them. Like when I like somebody and I like as a friend or whatever, and I like want them to know it, I just tell them. I'm like, I like you and I would love to spend more time with you.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that complicated.
Yeah.
You know, to just be like, I'm interested in fostering a friendship with you. I've said that to someone.
Yes. Really, yes, totally.
Really scared them.
Absolutely.
But that's okay.
Yeah.
They weren't on my level. That's fine.
Okay. I'll do a next question. Biggest piece of advice to young trans people coming out right now.
Don't do it.
It's a trap.
I'm just kidding. Do you want to start?
Yeah, sure. I think what I'd want to say to young trans people right now is, that voice that whispered to you for your entire life, you know, that like you're trans or you're queer, or that this is who you are. Let that same voice be your guiding light throughout all facets of your life and transition. Like, I think that voice is like, to me, our truest self. And what it feels like to listen to that voice now that you've like come out and uncovered it, follow that feeling. It's challenging because there's, unfortunately, we live in a world where coming out might make you lose people in your life. And we can hold space to grieve that while also being aware that they're leaving room for the love you deserve. And that, honestly, like, there are people out there in the world who are ready to love you as you are.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. I think my advice to, is it young queer people specifically or young trans people? Great. Perfect.
Yeah. Coming out.
I would say like what I would have wanted to know growing up was that, you don't need to like come out all at once and know exactly who the hell you are from the get go. Like, I changed pronouns and names and like the way that I declared myself so many times until I found the one that like I've been living with, which has been the most ambiguous and vague. It's gotten vaguer and vaguer as I've grown. But like, there was a time when it felt so important for me to be able to explain to other people what the heck I was in a very succinct and like formal way. And I understand it was like my desire to be understood and to like feel seen and totally valid. And also like, it really doesn't have to be perfect right away. Like, you're going to unfold as you grow up. And also this is what I used to tell. I used to mentor this one trans kid who's now fully over 18, which is crazy, but he was 14 when he first started reaching out to me And I was just like, do what you got to do to grow up.
Totally.
Like, not in a mean way, but just like, he was so suicidal and like was so afraid of just like everything, and being alive was really hard. And I was like, if you have to smoke weed, smoke weed. If you have to like cry to like the same movie like on a loop, do that. Get obsessed with a celebrity and just like live in a fantasy world. I don't care. It doesn't matter. Just whatever you have to do to stay alive.
Absolutely.
Like, I was obsessed with Steve Buscemi and posting my like really weird photos on Tumblr when I was in high school. And like, I smoked a lot of weed and I smoked cigarettes and I just did a bunch of crazy shit to stay alive one day at a time. And it really doesn't have to be pretty, but I think like once you find yourself at the age that you feel like you can finally like go do what you want and find the right people for you, like and have that freedom to do that, like the world opens up.
Yeah. I think it's really important to remember that coming out is not the statement that like, this is who I am and this is who I will be forever. That the destination you've reached when you come out is saying, from now on, I'm going to prioritize what's true for me over what the world says I am.
That's so good.
And so that identity, queer identity in its essence is not, cannot be contained. It's in flux. It's going to be a constant check-in every day, every moment, every second. Who am I? What language feels the most right and feels the most good and affirming right now? And you're not stuck. That the destination is the choice to listen to yourself.
I love that. That's such good advice.
Thanks. Okay, now rapid fire questions. Let's do this.
Okay. Do you pass as a cishet couple out in public? What's it like, especially as both people who are very queer?
I have no idea how we pass in public.
I don't think we pass as a cishet couple.
No, me neither. I think people are like, something's a little different about those two.
People think that we are friends.
Yeah, they really do.
Yeah.
Even our friend's child is like, your friend Ezra? Like, no matter how many times I tell her, you're my husband.
Yeah. Yesterday she said, Ezra, are you L? Like, no.
Sometimes I'm not even sure anymore. Yeah, but I have no idea how I'm perceived in public, especially, I mean, before FFS, I knew for sure I didn't pass. Now, I'm pretty sure I don't, like, consistently pass, but I think when people are looking at me in broad strokes, like, they're, I pass as, like, just, like, a tall girl or a girl that's a little off, but I think a lot of...
I think most people think I'm gay from the second they look at me.
Yeah.
So, it's, like, usually, like, if Elle is passing as a cis woman, then I'm, like, they're my fag hag.
Yeah.
And if...
Wait, you're... Oh, no, yeah.
And if... you're passing not as a cis woman, then maybe we're
gay men. Yeah. okay. My tips for gender fluids: drink as much as you can of that gender fluid.
Yeah, that's a good tip.
Keeps you young, keeps you sexy,
keeps you fluid,
keeps you with the trend. Okay, your turn.
Let's see. Tell us about your animals. We have three animals.
Winnie is a red golden retriever.
Teddy is a Great Pyrenees / Labrador retriever.
And our bunny kitten is a rat. No, our kitten Bunny is
his
a ragdoll.
His name is Bunny. Our kitten Bunny is a ragdoll cat.
And he's been in a really scratchy mood.
Yeah, he's pretty... feral.
And as we're saying this, we're watching our dogs attack each other. They're playing.
It's how they play.
They're playing bitey face.
Yeah, they love
okay,
it.
Okay, what has brought you joy recently?
Honestly, getting off of my ADHD medication. Oh. I can't stop talking about how amazing I feel being off of it completely. Because, like, I think also just, like, being afraid of running out was a big stress in my life. And then now just being off of it, I'm like, oh my God, I can talk again without... feeling so foggy.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you?
I'm so happy for you about that.
Christmas decorations. Our house is so cozy right now. The lights, the Christmas tree, the garlands.
We did so much with such a small budget.
We really did.
Yeah.
Spent like $100 and gosh, our house is transformed.
Yeah.
So cozy. Also being like busy, like filling our time with things.
Yeah, we're like, pretty busy.
Yeah, it feels so nice. Like before, I'm not, like before FFS, like I just kind of wanted to sink into myself and kind of disappear. And now I just feel like I'm so ready to be seen. I'm ready to be heard, which is unexpected. Mm-hmm. And it feels really nice to like have a bunch of projects that like no one's like telling us we need to be doing. We're just like filling our time and it feels really, really gratifying.
Yeah. Oh, it's beautiful.
Well, there you have it, folks.
Thanks for listening to our cute little episode this week.
Yeah. How about we do an improv song?
Okay.
Should it be a holiday song?
Yeah. Jingle.
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 Hey, who's that guy on the street?
Hey, he has titties down his feet.
He's got a big package of treats.
He's got a lot of things for me to eat. Who's that man? It's Santa Claus. She's a girl. She's a man. She's a... She's got claws. Nails. And,
oh, nails. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. Mm-hmm. All right.
Was that good?
No, I thought that was... I thought that was
yeah, okay, chat, tell me that. Tell me if that was good.
Stream our new song.
Santa Claus.
Santa Claus, out soon.
C-L-A-W-S.
Out very soon.
Also, subscribe to our Patreon in that order. Subscribe to our Patreon for full video episodes. Also, if you want a cameo from us, we do those
for the next week.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you found this episode late, then that's on you.
Then you're ace SOL.
Son of a lighthouse.
Son of a nutcracker.
All right.
I love you both.
You love me both?
What does that mean? I love you both, you and the audience.
I love you both.
I love you so much.
Cheers. Clink.
So let's talk about being trans in love.
Da 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 da. That's everything.